Morning, ladies and gentlemen, MPs. I'd like to greet the members of Greta and welcome them to Portugal. And they're here to assess the convention of the Council of Europe convention on against trafficking in human beings in this country. I am replacing our chair in the of the committee, because she's had a health problem and she's asked me to replace her, which I'm delighted to do. So, welcome to the team. We have Francesco Curcio, who is a member of Greta, and he is one of the experts to evaluate Portugal. We have Petra Nestor. Nestorovna, who is responsible for activities of the Council of Europe combating trafficking. We have Daniel Ranalli. And I believe there's one other person to be introduced in addition to the interpreters. These are the names I have here, in fact. We are going to organize ourselves as follows. I will give 10 minutes to members of Greta to introduce themselves and what they want from us, and then each parliamentary group will have 5 minutes. If the member of parliament who has not registered for this, she will have 3 minutes, and then Greta members will have 5 minutes for the final comments. Before I pass the floor, today I'd like to signal something. The Secretary General, General of UN, who is Portuguese, António Guterres, who is a great defender of human rights, in fact, which is so important for our work today, and in the framework of protecting human beings, gender equality, he has been confirmed today, and he is. This is such an important subject for all of us, and so I'm not sure, but I believe that Mr. Francesco Curcio is the first to speak, who is the rapporteur from the Council of Europe.
Good morning, and thank you for your attention. I am Francesco Curcio. I am a member of the Greta group. I come from Italy, and I am a prosecutor chief in the south of Italy, in Basilicata. It's a region of the south of Italy. And normally I deal with the crime, organized crime, and with the trafficking of human beings too. During this visit, we have met all the stakeholders, all the institutions that are involved in the fight against human trafficking, and we can affirm that there are a lot of progress in Portugal in this field. We are very interested to understand if in the Parliament there are initiatives ongoing for launching legislative amendments related to the CHIA, to the THB, and to to fight the trafficking in human beings. We think that one of the problems is the problem of the compensation to the victim of trafficking, and we want to understand if currently ongoing there are amendments related to this problem, amendments to the law of Portugal. And in particular, during the meeting was underlined that there is a problem about the demonstration of the incapacity to work for 30 days that is necessary to have the compensation by the victim. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. I will now pass the floor to a person who I didn't introduce, and I do apologize. I simply skipped a name. I will now pass the floor to Julia Planitzer, who is also a Greta member and an appointed expert and for assessing Portugal. I do apologize for skipping your name at the introduction, but I now pass the floor to you, Julia.
Distinguished members of the Parliament, I would just like to add some more background to our convention. My colleague Francesco Curto already pointed out that we have met several actors and indicated where certain challenges have been identified. In general, Portugal was one of the first members of the Council of Europe that ratified the Council of Europe Convention on Action Against Trafficking in Human Beings. And the convention entered into force in 2008, and the convention provides a comprehensive framework for tackling human trafficking from a human rights-based perspective and has currently 48 states parties. The implementation of the convention is monitored by the group of independent experts, GRETA, the Experts Group on Action Against Trafficking, which is a group of 15 independent experts. And this group carries out periodic evaluations of the state parties and publishes afterwards reports with recommendations when there are recommendations necessary. And on the basis of the GRETA's reports, the committee of the parties to the convention, which is a more political structure to the convention, the issues then the recommendations to the state parties. As we have already been introduced, so two members of GRETA are currently conducting this evaluation of Portugal. So this is my colleague Francesco Curto and myself. At the same time, we are accompanied by two colleagues of the Permanent Secretariat of the Convention, which is based in Strasbourg. So on my left-hand side, Executive Secretary Petja Nestrova and my colleague Daniela Ranalli on the right-hand side. GRETA is usually focusing on a certain particular topic in each evaluation round of the convention. And for this third evaluation round and third visit to Portugal, GRETA has chosen the focus on victims' access to justice and effective remedies. And my colleague Francesco already pointed out that we identified and discussed with several actors in the last days that there are challenges in access to compensation. So these challenges are at the core of our evaluation round. There are a number of provisions on the convention that establish substantive and procedural obligations that are highly relevant to having access to justice. Access to justice and effective remedies must be guaranteed in a gender and age-sensitive manner to all victims of trafficking, irrespective of their immigration status or presence on the national territory, and notwithstanding of the capacity or willingness to cooperate in any criminal investigation. Access to justice and effective remedies is contingent on the fulfillment of a number of preconditions, including, for instance, accurate identification of victims of trafficking, the provision of a recovery and reflection period, and the availability of legal assistance and material assistance. As my colleague already pointed out, we had a number of fruitful meetings in the last days, so we've met a lot of actors, governmental actors and also NGOs, since our stay in Lisbon. We visited also other places in the country, and as has been stressed already, we see that there is a lot of progress in the implementation of measures against trafficking in human beings, and we were also informed about numerous initiatives that have been taken in the last years on action against trafficking. After this visit, we will produce a draft report, and this draft report will be discussed among the 15 GRETA members at the plenary meeting in Strasbourg in November 2021. And after this meeting, the report will be sent back to the government. The government can give us comments on this report. And then the final report will be adopted in March 2022. So in March, then there will be this report with the recommendations to Portugal be published. Well, my colleague Francesco already pointed out which questions are highly interesting for us for this exchange today. Let me just conclude with thanking you for taking the time and giving us the opportunity to meet you. And we are very much looking forward to discussing with you how the Parliament is addressing the issue of trafficking in human beings and which challenges, for instance, you see in its work. Thank you.
The thanks are ours. To have the members of GRETA with us at Parliament to talk with us, and so that the groups can inform GRETA about the work being conducted. Rune Alga Fernandes from the PS, the Socialist Party, you have the floor, 5 minutes. Thank you very much. Welcome to GRETA members. I'm delighted that the parliamentary group of the Socialist Party, which has dedicated a great deal of effort to this subject, is here to respond to the concerns and doubts expressed by the group. To begin, this has occupied us since last year as a parliamentary group of the Socialist Party, which has established a working group on trafficking in human beings. Its mission and all of the work we've conducted until now was to speak with all of the bodies involved in this body, involved in this issue of trafficking in human beings, to hear their views. Our concern is particularly linked to the question of THB for labour purposes. We know the line dividing help for illegal immigration and human trafficking is a very shady line. So all of our work has been focusing on limiting ourselves to this red line so that we can conduct legislative initiatives here in Parliament to fight this problem. One of the first initiatives that we are considering is linked to a change in the law for temporary workers, because bearing in mind what we've noted in Portugal, the caso of Odmira, has a lot to do with intermediaries who open their companies and offer labour to the major farming interests in a very quick period of time. They are able to close those companies down again, not pay the workers' wages, not pay their social security contributions, which would enable them to enjoy unemployment benefit if they lose their job. None of this happens. These workers are virtually left in penury. So this is unacceptable. The parliamentary group of the PS doesn't tolerate this measure, and for the last year or so, we have been focusing our efforts a great deal on this effort, particularly legislative initiatives here in Parliament. All of the measures to fight THB are part of our national plan against the THB. We oversee and monitor the development of that. The parliamentary group of the PS doesn't only call on the government to develop these measures, but it questions the government and it insists to ensure that these measures are actually complied with. I think that's all I have to say at the moment, but we can go further into this later. Emilia Sequeira from the PSD, she is the representative of the parliamentary group. You have the floor. Thank you very much, Jar. Welcome, obviously, the representatives of Greta. It's delightful to have you here. And thank you for giving us an opportunity for taking stock of the situation here in Portugal and all of the aspects related to THB. And I would also like to compliment António Guterres in his confirmation of his re-election at the UN. And particularly because he's been so deeply involved in human rights. Portugal, fortunately, is not a country with a great human being trafficking problem. We have a problem in Europe, which is not quite the Portuguese group. There, it does exist, and it's a concern of the PSD, but it has not been the main focus of our concerns when it comes to THB. But obviously, we are concerned with all aspects of THB. Every person who's trafficked is a concern for us. What we've been particularly focused on over the last parliament is the lack of conditions for migrants and foreigners who arrive in Portugal. This question of workers in Odmira, it's not a question of the workers in Odmira nor the exploiting companies. It's a lack of resources and a lack of monitoring. Obviously, Portugal has major population problems, especially inland regions. The population is aging. We have a lack of labour. And so we welcome an increasingly large number of migrant workers, especially for farming, unlike what happened decades ago when it was Portuguese people who came back from the abroad, or they went abroad as well to work on farms in other countries. But now it's foreign workers who come here. The result of a lack of oversight. We've got quite good legislation. In fact, Portugal has never really had a problem of legislation. It legislates well. When it comes to human rights, we've been one of the most advanced countries when it comes to legislation. The problem is the actual condition of the resources in the field to implement those that legislation. The last government, which is the same government as we have now, despite announcing all sorts of funding for all sorts of things, spent less money on this problem than we were spending when we were under the supervision of the Troika. Now, the pandemic has only made this lack of resources worse. When we're talking about migrants, and especially seasonal workers, we've got a series of problems of exploitation. Lack of conditions of dignity, for example. The government doesn't create conditions for dignified housing, and that generates, from a social point of view and a human point of view, a very complex and complicated situation. So the Parliament has issued a number of proposals regarding this. The PSD has even proposed legislation on how to deal with this situation. We do have the tools to combat this type of exploitation, but unfortunately the PSD is concerned with the fact that it's not being implemented for lack of resources. And I have to say this is a concern of all of Parliament. We can't politicize the trafficking of human beings. The PSD doesn't want to put itself in that position. And I don't want to explain what the PSD is planning, because this is an internal thing and I'm sure it's not what you want to know. We have a prison in Caxias, which is in fact now being used for migrants coming into Portugal. It's an abandoned prison. And the dismantling of CEF in the middle of the pandemic is also a concern. It concerns the PSD, and I believe that this is in fact relevant for the discussion that we're having today. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much. Alma Ribeiro from the PCP, Communist Party. Thank you, Chair. Welcome, members of Greta. Thank you for coming to visit us, enabling us to talk to you. And, of course, that we want to respond to the questions you've sent. This is an opportunity to share with you some of the PCP's concerns on this subject. Firstly, we believe that this is a reality which is of a scale in Portugal. It's labour exploitation, which is very linked to farms, but not only. In industry, in logistics, it also exists. It's already seen in prostitution and other phenomena. On smaller scale, when it comes to numbers, in football and associated phenomena, we recognise the effort that's been made to put this issue on the agenda. Nevertheless, we believe that the effort has been fruitless if it is not accompanied by the strengthening of the instruments that can detect, that can root, and can act on the problem, and hopefully with a view to ending the problem. And more specifically, it has a lot to do with our Labour Conditions Authority, which is competent for detecting whether there is conformity between the needs of workers and understanding what networks are feeding into temporary work. It's also a problem of legislation. This has been accepted. The legislation does enable you to replace contracted workers with temporary workers with no formal link with the company, so nobody takes responsibility there. You can simply change the worker. And we've got a problem which is actually implementing the labour law. the ACT, which is responsible for, doesn't have responsibility for checking or ensuring compliance with the law when it's abused. Then we've got the issue of CEF. The investment in there is... we've got a lot of problems at the moment because, of course, the restructuring is causing a lot of problems. And, of course, we are worried that this can endanger the transmission. All the work of investigation into THB with the structuring, that may be lost. Because we expect it to be fragmented. Another point about the judicial police, the criminal police, which plays an important role, but suffers the same problems I already mentioned regarding other institutions. Lack of resources, especially the modernization of its resources. When these networks are increasingly sophisticated and the resources for investigation can't compete. So I just wanted to say this to understand the real difficulty of fighting THB with the resources we have. As regards to the ACT, we've got areas of the country covering about a third of the country, the lower Alentejo and the coast of the Alentejo, which is a huge area. And I would risk by saying that a while ago we only had two inspectors. It seems that there's been an increase, but this is the reality. You can't cover that whole area. So these are the concerns that I wanted to share with you, and these are the main observations from the meetings that we've had, and of course trying to respond to your questions as well. Thank you very much. I have Cristina Rodriguez, who's online, and she... who is going to be with us online. Unfortunately, there will be no interpretation because we can't link your video link to the interpreting booth. So please, will you speak in English? So Cristina Rodriguez is going to speak in English. You have 3 minutes. Please take the floor.
First of all, I would like to compliment all of our guests and thank you for your presence here. I would also like to emphasize the importance of your work. I believe that states should do everything in their power to reduce human trafficking. It is a matter of the most basic human rights, and it's not something that a country can solve alone. It requires a strong cooperation. I will not take much of your time. I have very specific questions. The link between human trafficking and prostitution has been discussed in several international institutions, and it is something that I have been working here in Portugal. The numbers say that around 60% of trafficked people are for sexual exploitation, so it is a very high number. Also, of that number, more than 90% are women and girls, so it is also a gender problem and a very concerning one. So my first question is, do you recognize the connection between human trafficking and prostitution? And do you believe that in cases like Germany, for example, the prostitution model has promoted the human trafficking in that country? On the other hand, what do you think about the Swedish model? And do you think it also has an impact on human trafficking numbers or not? Regarding Portugal, a United Nations report reveals that more than 350 people were victims of human trafficking in Portugal between 2014 and 2018, mostly men for forced labor. The numbers are not that high, but should we just conclude that our country is not a receiving country, should we conclude that we have a fiscalization problem and the numbers probably are higher? Or also, how should we address the forced labor in our agriculture? which challenges do you think we face the most, and what type of measurements we should take to increase the fight against human trafficking? And the last question, sorry, I have made a lot of questions, but what type of measurements do you think we should implement to the survivors? That's all. Thank you.
I don't think we have any other Member of Parliament registered. So a final observation then to the involvement of our country in the fighting against THB. As has already been said by all of the presentations, since 2007 we have had national plans for against THB. We're on our fourth plan. We have a rapporteur recommended by the Council of Europe since the start. We have an observatory on THB and shelters for victims, victims of sexual exploitation, and shelters for men who have been suffered labour exploitation. We are preparing a specific model of the victim status to ensure its reception and integration is more effective, so that we have a single system for those who ask for international aid and for unaccompanied children. So we have a single operating group to which is developing this work. It is an across-the-board approach into 2000, the speaker said, following the Council of Europe recommendations, Parliament has a view of this subject, looking at it from a gender equality viewpoint. We have a committee for citizenship and gender, and we feel that the whole combat should include the agenda question. And so I would just say that legislation is being prepared at Parliament at the moment regarding all of the matters that I've just talked about. So I will now pass the floor to our Julia Planeter, please, you have the final word, obviously, either to make further questions or to make observations on what you've already said, and including any reactions to any of the things that were said by our members of Parliament here. Thank you. You have the floor.
Sorry, we were just checking what the issues were we wanted to ask you. So thank you very much for giving us the information, especially, for instance, concerning the legislative initiative concerning the intermediaries and the issue of labor exploitation. So we were also informed of this. It was also, I think, in also former report already addressed. So if there is time left, it would be great, for instance, to get more detail on what exactly the legislative initiative would foresee in this matter, whether it is about more monitoring of these intermediaries or a higher level of regulation of these intermediaries. And thank you very much for the other comments. So we heard, for instance, on a certain lack of resources and a lack of monitoring. And at the same time, we were also informed about the changes within CEF. And thank you also for pointing out the position of ACT and their competences and to which extent they are able to monitor this huge area. We are very well aware of the issue and how big the area is that needs to be monitored. And we met also, of course, with ACT to find out how they assess their possibilities and competences to effectively monitor and identify labor exploitation. Let me thank you also for the questions raised by the distinguished member of parliament, Ms. Rodriguez, at the end. There were several questions we might not be able to answer at this point, as we need to first write our report and assess and see which recommendations we can give, for instance, on the labor exploitation agriculture. Concerning your questions on the link between human trafficking and sexual exploitation and prostitution. So we, in general, our convention addresses this point in several, in some articles, but at the same time, it is very clear that for the convention, it does not matter how or in which direction states are regulating prostitutions at the national level. Because first of all, for the aim of the convention is to prevent trafficking in human beings. And to one article, for instance, also foresees the discouragement of demand. And which measures are taken are up to the national level. So for the convention as such, it's not necessary, for instance, to criminalize prostitution, because the aim of the convention is to see which how the measures are discouraging any demand. So measures are up to be decided on the national level. And there are, as you also pointed out, several models within Europe. This is how the states are deciding on a certain topic, but it's not part of our convention, or our convention is not giving a certain obligation to go in a certain direction in this matter.
Yes, we have a little bit more time. I don't know if any of the other members of Greta would like to take the floor to make any observations.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity just to add a couple of words. I'm Peti Nestrova, and I have been the executive secretary of this Council of Europe Convention for the last 11 years. And I was with the previous team of rapporteurs in 2012 when Portugal was evaluated for the first time. So it is good to see the progression and the evolution in Portugal. I just wanted to complement what Julia said on the last point, which of course is one of the hotly debated issues now. What is the best way to discourage demand? Greta has said in his reports that without prejudice to the complexity of issues which surround the question of prostitution and how it should be regulated, what the obligation of states is to make sure that victims can be identified and protected and assisted. And if the regime which a country chooses makes victims more hidden, more invisible, or puts the emphasis not on going after the trafficker, but changing the focus of what the police is asked to do, if this is risking to make trafficking more hidden and underground, if you want, then this is counterproductive. So that is really why states, when they decide to legislate, they have to take into consideration the whole complexity and the whole range of issues. The convention has a provision on criminalizing the use of services of victims of trafficking with the knowledge that the person is a victim. So this is what the convention expects. And this criminalization with the knowledge that the person is a victim is not only for sexual exploitation, but also for other forms of exploitation, labor as well, etc. So, this is what I wanted to add. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's exactly our approach in Portugal. Trafficking is a crime, which has been noted in this parliament by expanding the concept, and victims are treated as victims. We have a plan to protect them, working with NGOs, etc., and prevention is central to that plan, especially in schools, ensure that people are alerted to all of the traps into which they can fall. I think that our intervention has come to an end, but I just want to ensure that no question has been left unasked, and so if you will allow me, we do go over time, we do have a plenary that begins in 10 minutes, and we do have a certain margin for asking a few extra questions. If there was any question you didn't understand or anything that wasn't understood, would you like to add anything regarding what has already been said? Ronaldo Fernandes? I'll try in the 28 seconds I have just to say the following. You asked what is being thought as when it comes to legislation on temporary work. We will be trying to reinforce the authority which monitors, supervises, oversees work and the investigation, and in particular, hold owners responsibility so they are jointly responsible with the temporary companies. So if they disappear, we still have somebody who can be held responsible for the exploitation which took place. As regards the immigration law and this idea of removing people from Portuguese territory, we are considering the issue of victims of human beings, trafficking of human beings, to be recognized as victims so they can be granted a residence authorization. We would give them a time to think about whether they want to go ahead with a complaint, a report as a victim, and then in a more effective way, we believe fight THB better. This is the focus of the new legislation. Emília Siqueira, Chair, following on, thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I did forget something, and I think we all forgot something. This subcommittee, and in fact it's the PCP who is responsible for this, in a forthcoming debate, we're actually going to be debating trafficking in human beings within the ambit of non-discrimination, and on behalf of everybody, we are, before the holidays, we are going to hold a conference on THB regarding its various aspects, sexual exploitation, labour exploitation, prostitution, etc. So that there's no misunderstanding or there's no doubt regarding the initial question, I repeat, our problem is not a problem of legislation, because Portugal has always been one of the first countries to sign up to conventions on trafficking, protecting victims. And one of my colleagues said that we have brought all of that legislation together. But yes, there has been a problem with a lack of monitoring, especially in the farming industry, despite the fact that most companies do comply with the law. There are plenty of companies who exploit the labor law. These are ghost companies that appear and disappear in an instant, and so it's very difficult to trace them. And we don't have the data on this, and this has been the case in the past, but we don't the Authority for Labour Inspection is notorious for having a lack of resources, but also CEF and the Judicial Police, etc. They simply don't have the resources in the field, especially in these inland areas. And so the result is we don't really have a clear picture of what is really going on, apart from this soundbite of Odimira, which appeared during the pandemic, and that was just a snapshot of what happened. But we don't have what we really need is that we have effective monitoring, so that the legislation, which is good as in place, is actually put into practice. Because we've got these various networks. Some of them are organised crime, some of them are less organised crime. We have managed to convict a number of different people, but we've got difficulty in covering the area. Illegal immigration is the same problem, and also this link to labour exploitation. We don't really know the situation. We are aware that we have the legislation in place, but because of a lack of resources, we know that we've still got a long way to go. Thank you very much. I don't know if anybody else would like to speak. Does anybody else wish to take the floor? So it's up to me, therefore, to thank Greta for being here. Francesco Curciu, you have the floor, sir.
Just something about the check of the company in the intermediary of labor. We have a lot of meeting with the institution, and they told us that it's very difficult to check this company because it's too easy to constitute, to build this this company. It is too fast. In 1 hour it's possible to build a company, and if there is a multiplication of the actor, is very difficult to check all of them.
I don't even know if anybody wants to answer that particular question. Thank you very much for that observation. So if nobody else wants to take the floor, I adjourn the meeting. I'd like to thank you, thank Greta, Francesco Curciu and Yuli Planitzer, and also Petja Nestorova and Dania Ranali from the Secretariat, Petja from the Executive Secretary of the Council of Europe Convention, and Daniela, Secretary of the Council of Europe. And I'd like to thank the two interpreters as well. We did hope that we'd be able to speak in English, but unfortunately, this being the Portuguese Parliament, we are obliged to speak in Portugal. We do apologize also for the delay in beginning the meeting.